Welcome to the Funny Mummies podcast. I'm your host, Hattie Ashdown, and mum to two feral boys. Join us as I welcome a different mum every episode from the world of comedy, as we give no judgment, no filter, but all the laughs on this crazy ride of parenting, work, and being bloody great women.
Happy Mother's Day! Happy Mother's Day! Happy Mother's Day!
And welcome to the Funny Mummies podcast. I'm Hattie Ashdown. If you've not listened before, I always like to give a little headline at this point. And I think my headline's going to be, I haven't got Gemma with me today. But it kind of fits with our topic, and I'll get to that later. So let's just go straight in with our guest, who's now become a co-host as well. And we're just going to have a lovely old chat. And she's a dear friend of mine. Oh, she doesn't even know it, but I've just upgraded her to a dear friend. But she recently won the Funny Women Industry Award 2023, darling. That's the Leicester Silver Stand-Up finalist. Oh my God. And she's the Edinburgh-ish Comedy Award co-founder. And she runs the wonderful Rat Pack Comedy and laughs at the Louis. Is it Louis? It is Louis.
Louis,
it?
Yeah.
Please welcome Sarah Bowles.
Hello.
How are you, my love? Do you have a headline?
Do I have a headline? It was 10:30 on a Saturday and I'm up and dressed, so miracle.
Oh, well, my headline should be, yes, it should have been, it's 10:30 and I'm not, I'm in my pyjamas. Sometimes I put this out on YouTube, sometimes I don't. It's like a wonderful potluck for you. Okay, so before we get into any more, I wanted today, anybody that's been following me on Instagram, whether that be at Hattie Ashdown or at Funny Mummies, I don't think at Funny Mummies Instagram, there's been so many sort of, shall we say, hints, but I feel like I'm putting up lots of stuff. I can't help it. I've become that person that I used to hate, where you put this stuff up, you're like, why is she putting up this sort of sad stuff, and I can't help it. I've become that scrolling at 12 a.m. woman, and some meme will come up that's like, you can get through this, and I'm like, share that. That's where I am. So I thought, because as you know, Sarah, I thought a lot about whether to talk about this, and I feel like as comedians, as broadcasters, I am one of those people that can't keep it all in. Now, Gemma, our lovely co-host, one of the reasons she's not here today is to do with the pitfalls of single parenting, because sometimes those other halves let you down. So it kind of fits with the topic today. So anyway, I'm going to do a BBC style announcement that for those that have been following me. Yeah, so I don't know what the headline is. Me and my husband have separated. It's still early days, so I don't know what to call it, because for me it's like my husband put a bomb on our life. That's the statement I want to put. But I have to be careful with what I say, but I feel like I'm not being authentic if I don't tell you where I am in my life in parenting, because this is about, well, it's not all about parenting. That's the thing. We're not, if you've never come to this podcast before, it's very little about parenting. It's just about that we happen to be parents as well. So, yeah, I don't know. What else should I say? Sarah's been wonderful, literally driving all the way over to help me out and just see me and hang out with me. It's been a time of definitely finding out, I wouldn't say like just who your friends are, I think who your friends are that can put up with you know, this kind of thing, because it's been an interesting finding out the ones that maybe you thought would be there more of not, and then vice versa. The ones that you just like really surprised you or messaging you or calling you, you know, because it is like a grief where I always say, and I said it in my show, The Worry Draw, that don't just say, oh, hi, I'm here for you. you got to just do practical stuff, I think. But not everyone's like that. You'd be led by the person. But I love anyone sort of just taking control and saying, I'm coming over or whatever. But not everyone's like that. Some people just want a cocoon.
Some people won't understand what you're going through because they haven't had close-up experience of it.
Yeah, of course.
And some people, it will still be too triggering for them. So they might back off when they don't really want to back off. But you know, who knows, we're all different.
I'm nodding profusely because that is so true. And so this isn't, if any of my friends are listening, this isn't like a, you haven't been there. Like, I totally get it. And so my husband decided he wanted to leave in the just after we got back from holiday in Cornwall, and it's just been me trying to work out and pick up the pieces of that. And I guess I can't, it is that thing of like, gotta respect the other person, and they're not here to see their side, but there's no, yeah, there's no other person involved apparently. But it was the questions I get are, did you have any idea, all that kind of thing, and I'm like, no. I mean, yes, there was like, you know, we weren't cuddling as much and all that kind of stuff, and we weren't connected. But this only comes when something like this happened, you unpeel it, don't you? And you go, oh, there was this, there was that. But yeah, I knew that we weren't massively connected, but hey, you got two kids and you both work and it's just hectic. And so it was a shock. And I would say the first 2 months were definitely just me trying to get through the shock of it, you know, like a physical shock. I couldn't get over the physical shock on my body. So yeah, so where I am now is, it's we are beginning of December, depending on when you're listening to this, and thinking about my first Christmas as a single mom. I can't believe I'm even saying that sentence. So, and Sarah, dear Sarah, I mean, your kids are older now. Do you, it's weird, isn't it? Because I'm like, because your kids are older, I'm like, do you still see yourself as a single mum? I guess you are, aren't you?
Well, what was quite interesting, we had like one of those Christmas dinners for your preferred family for Christmas. So
yeah.
my daughter is spending Christmas with her in-laws. So right. We are family Christmas dinner on a Saturday.
Lovely.
And as you say, my children are older. My youngest is now 31. He is 31. But we were able to have a conversation about how chaotic, how we're, because there's this whole thing where you're all putting on a brave face for other people. I mean, obviously you only know your own experience. My marriage kind of broke down quite spectacularly, and then a few months later my dad died. So that first Christmas we had all of it.
Wow. So what time of year did he announce his big announcement, which we'll get to later if you want to?
Well, just for my own ego, if you like, he didn't announce it. He was taken from the house by two policemen, and we didn't speak to each other again. So that's probably oversharing, but
no.
But that said, I still thought he was going through a breakdown, and I thought even if we didn't get back together,
yeah,
I thought there'd be peace. We'd been together for 11 years at that point, and I thought the positives and the kids would work without. But we had one weekend where we communicated since.
Wow. And,
yeah, so, but that was, I remember the day very clearly. It was July the 4th. So that was my Independence Day. And then my dad died in the October. And so it made Christmas that year quite a thing, really.
Yeah. So did you never have to go through that kind of, oh, you're having them this Christmas, because your situation was a bit different? Yeah. Did you not have to go through that?
In the first couple of years, his mother wanted to pretend everything was normal. So the first, I think they went out for Boxing Day the first year. And,
right.
you know, to be fair, I don't know what we're doing together on the podcast, Hattie. We're two probably of the most oversharers. This is going to be a trick.
But I've been people.
Yeah. I was scared for their safety. So I literally spent the whole of that Boxing Day, which I'd forgotten about this, sitting outside just down the end of her road so that if the children needed me, I could be there.
Oh, very quickly. You.
So there was a bit of that, but that, yeah, basically we didn't have to discuss who was having who for most years because he didn't care.
I think everybody does think it's like that, don't they? They think it's like, oh, you know, you go to each other's for Christmas or, you know, you do this, but actually not everyone's even got that set up.
And to be fair, I've been fairly grateful that it was just down to me to make the decisions, to do the disciplining. It was tough because you didn't get a break. I look at some of my friends with good relationships with their ex, and where both parents are very concerned about the children. It's like, you literally, maybe one weekend, maybe two weekends a month, that is your time. You know your children are being looked after, and you can do whatever you please. Well, I think that was that's one of the worst things, and that's what really upset me on your behalf, is that you have to work much harder, and you don't really feel you do anything well anymore. You do your job as well as you can, but not as well as you used to, and you look after your kids as well as you can, and not as well as you used to, which is quite depressing. And it's not actually as bad as that sounds, but I think that's an immediate.
No, well, you know me, I don't shy away from going deep and that, because I just think, I mean, all my friends keep saying to me is, oh, Hattie, you're so, you know, I kind of hate the whole you're doing so well, but I don't know why I do. I just, it's better than them saying you're fucking doing shit in it, but but I don't know. I guess it's because it's like, well, I don't have any other choice.
Exactly that.
And I should say at the top, like, he, God, even saying this is hard. He is a good dad, and he is very much being supportive. I mean, as I talk to you right now, he has them for the weekend, but that is not perfect, because this is the other thing. He doesn't have anywhere else to live. So when he has them at the moment, I either have to just be in the house or I bugger off to friends, which is just, I don't know. And that's probably not going to change for a long time because he can't afford somewhere else, blah, blah, blah. That's why I keep saying it's like to put a bomb into things, because it's just so, life when you got kids, particularly when they're small, mine are 5 and 8, is like you're on this treadmill anyway, and it's so complicated, and you're trying to just generally trying to get by. And then when he does this, it's like, whoa. But yeah, you know, I guess not having them for a couple of days does give you a chance to clear your head, or for me, just go out drinking loads. And my head is not clear whatsoever, hence why I'm in my pajamas. the drinking has calmed down. But you know, the reason why I want to talk about this as well is because me and a few sort of single mum friends, I'm trying to get my tribe now, we sort of say everything. I mean, Gemma talk about this, is you hear people or read about people when it's all been done and they're in a much, much better place. And actually, when I've been like low and I'm searching on my phone for just something, I don't know what, is we don't get to hear and see the process. It's all just like, oh yeah, it was really bad. I mean, I was crying myself to sleep, but now I've got this new book and everything's great. And it's like, yeah, so I'm here for people that's going through the process. And yeah, it's good days and bad days. And of course, you know, some days I get that kind of like fire in my belly, as my friend said. She said, one day you'll get the fire in your belly. And I feel like I get a little flame where I'm like, yeah. I mean, and it's so fickle, Sarah. It was like the other night I had a really good gig and it was just, it was really good. And my friend, it was so nice when a friend who's really supportive of me, Viv Groskop, who we've had on the podcast a lot, just like, was so, she was like, oh my God. She actually said to me, thanks so much for last night. You were great. I think your current situation, while painful, suits your comedy. Totally relaxed, in control, in the zone, and just letting the material shine. It was a joy to watch. And I just thought, oh my God. Yeah, just bigging myself up. Well, you have to, don't you?
Yeah.
So those days you get this like, yeah, intimate woman. And then you just, yeah, you have to just ride with those days. And then the next day you have to go and see Santa together with your ex. That's a good one. I'd like to say to people that are doing those things, that are being volunteers or working at Santa things, be wary of parents that maybe aren't together. They keep trying to get pictures of us. And I guess that's her job, isn't it? And because we were just like stepping out and letting the kids have a photo. And I thought, God, isn't it weird? Like, I see why they're doing it, because they don't know. But it's like, just be wary. But it was fine. You know what? It was fine. The boys obviously love us doing stuff together. And I'm not going to talk too much about the boys because, yeah, that's a difficult one. But they don't, they're too young to really know what's going on. But for anyone else that's going through it, look up stuff on Gingerbread. I recommend them. They're great for advice. And talk to your school. Like, oh my God, like the poor school have had me crying at the school gates. Did you ever feel like, it's so old fashioned, I know it's silly, just to feel that sort of shame, Sarah? Did you ever feel of shame?
We were supposedly devout Catholics. And I, you know, that was, so I knew kind of what was going on for a couple of months before the end. And then there was two or three years where no one was talking about what was going on or anything. And then
As in family around you or?
Everyone, certainly everyone. Church, family. That
wow.
I mean, most people know this.
Can I just say, what sort of, when are we talking? Because you are a little bit older than me.
Yeah, we split up in 2000. And so, okay. I mean, once again, he's totally out and proud now, so I'm not breaking any confidence. Yeah. My husband's gay. And so for three
years, didn't have any idea. You didn't
not until a couple of months. Thankfully, I did find out a couple of months before the end, because he was being blackmailed by someone from the local public toilets. So that was nice.
That was nice.
That was very, very peaceful. And I was a Samaritan at the time. So I was getting calls from married men who were homosexuals.
I mean, Sarah.
The more they told me, the more I'm like, hang on a minute, that's happening in my house.
Really?
Yeah. And so I found out in a very, very gentle way, where I had a lot of empathy.
Right.
And
how fascinating.
If I'd found out the couple of months later by the guy who was blackmailing him, I think I'd have had a breakdown. I knew already when this guy tried to out him.
Right, God.
So there were two or three years where nothing was spoken about because my ex was very unstable, so I didn't want to up the ante.
Yeah.
But then I had the shame of my family and church community when we split up. And then again, the not shame as such, because I was really excited about him coming out and I thought he'd have peace when he did that. So I was really concentrated.
Wow, that's very charitable of you.
But, you know, the way I saw it at the time, he was the father of my children.
Yeah.
And we'd been good friends.
Right.
So there was going to be stability when he came out. But I was very concerned about how people at church were going to treat us, because
right.
this wasn't, you know, normal. It's not normal in the Catholic Church for homosexuals to be out. This didn't work. I don't know how long you were married for, but and how long
we were together 12 years. I think that's all that matters, really, isn't it? I think married like eight, I think, or nine.
I mean, that's a lot of work. You haven't made it 12 years.
I know.
Putting work into something, and then it's like, oh, was that for nothing?
I was surprised myself how, I think I overheard the deputy head say something. I say overheard, she was saying to me, it wasn't over here. She said something about, she's a very nice woman. And she said, I just wanted to say, I heard about your situation. And she was going, but she sort of went, but I have to say, you look great. And I was like, oh, you know, it's that moment of like, oh God, they're all talking about it in the staff room that like, I'm this like, you know, this like poor woman who's, husband's left her. And then God, I haven't had the layers that you've had. I mean, I think that's another level. Although I don't know if this is insulting to you, I have had times when I'm like, I wish he was leaving because he was gay, because I feel this rejection, because that's the biggest thing that I'm struggling with at the moment, I think, because I haven't got many other people to talk to about that, because a lot of my friends, it's been the other way around. So yeah, I never knew I'd be sort of thinking like, maybe it's just because where I live, it feels like you don't know what's going on behind closed doors. No one does. Yeah. There's not many single mums, is what I'm trying to say. Yeah. And I didn't realise, I'm not ashamed to be a single mum. I think, you know, I used to say it before and I'll say it again, they are the most hardworking. I mean, in a sense, my mum became a single mum, a widow single mum, because I was 13 when my dad died.
Wow.
And God bless her, you know, like she, you know, what didn't ask to be, no one asked me, I guess. So that's another level. But I didn't realize that I'd feel that. And that's just society. It's that thing of now everything, my eyes are opened to every flipping program, every cartoon, every film is mom, dad, kids. It's very, you really opened up to, that there isn't many of that dynamic. And that's the things that my oldest, bless him, is struggling with, because of his autism as well. He likes things like, this is how I see it on TV, blah blah blah, or any kid would. That's what's pumped at them, isn't it? Because I wasn't in a nuclear family, very much not.
You're listening to the Funny Mummy podcast.
Yay!
Now can I go back?
Yeah. So, Christmas.
I don't want to be pedantic, Hattie.
Yeah.
You're not divorced, are you?
No! I'm not even divorced!
For God's sake, give yourself a bit of a break. Don't punish yourself with another husband.
I don't. I really don't want to marry again. Yeah, if I'm going to be true and vulnerable, I'm just feeling a little bit like I'd like a kiss and a cuddle. Do you know what I mean?
Drinking not helping with that. That was. I used to be able to go out drinking and have a bit of a kiss and a cuddle.
Did you?
I did eventually. Yeah.
Okay. When you say eventually, how long?
So I used to go out pubbing straight away.
Wow.
And what I used to like was to get an offer. I never took anyone up on it, but if I'd got an offer, that made me feel it's like, oh, I could if I wanted to.
Yeah.
But some of the offers were horrendous and really hideous. There was a fair bit of bootlegging going on in Dover at the time, and one night.
What does bootlegging mean?
Illegal trading.
Of course it does. Just as alcohol. I said it, I thought it was like a dating term for some reason. I was like,
so there was a lot of money in dough. I mean, there were a lot of. It was a very odd time. And one night at the nightclub, this guy just had a wad of £50, a huge wad of £50, and slapped it on the bar in front of me as if this was supposed to do it. And I was always a little bit sad. He didn't follow that up with a rather large penis and then a. And if you carried it on
the wad of 50.
Yeah, yeah. Money, large penis, poetry. I'd have been in there, but just the money wasn't doing it for me. But and then someone else came up to me and said, do you want a show? And I'm like, oh, thank God. Because yes, I did. But I don't now. And I won't. I won't for at least 6 weeks. So thank you very much. So that was what I did in the main, still being a good Catholic at that point.
Being a good Catholic. Would you say, are you still in the Catholic realm now? Or would you say?
I do believe in a spiritual realm. And actually, never more than this year, I'm like, oh, there's bad stuff going on and it has to have a spiritual element. This doesn't make sense on a purely earthly basis. I'm a little bit cynical of organized religion.
Yes.
I have seen some not so good signs, so I don't quite know how to engage with it right now. Does that answer your question?
I know I was brought up Church of England, and I can see now why when my dad died, my mum, She'd always been, you know, liking a bit of God, let's say, but she wouldn't go to the church, really. But when my dad died, she did for a while. And I remembered that now. And I was like, oh, I totally see why she did that. And here's a bit of a funny story. I don't know if I told you this, though. This was very early on in finding out from my husband. I had this day, and I can only describe it as a panic day, a real panic day. And I heard the wonderful Helen Thorne, who's from Scummy Mummies. I think she described it in her book, because she's got a book called Get Divorced, Be Happy. I think that's the way around, yeah. This guttural, wailing, cow-like cry. And I was doing one of them in the shower. I got out, and I was in complete blind panic of what to do. I just didn't know what to do with myself. And one of the things I was suffering from at the beginning was not sleeping. And then I can't remember how, but I thought, I'm going to go through my mum's letters. Now, again, if you, not to keep, you know, dropping it in, saw my show, The Worry Drawer, which you can watch on Next Up. I asked people to write, I talked about my mum's letters that she wrote to me. So I've got a lot of letters, loads that I still haven't read. So I thought, I'm looking for an answer from my mum. I thought I'd go through. I've also got lots of notes where she was just writing notes, lists and stuff. And I think this was just like more of a list stuff. And lo and behold, I'm not kidding you, there was a bit in there about not being able to sleep, right? And she wrote this, and I think she quoted a poem, something about just exhausting yourself. And I thought, right, that's what I've got to do. And I thought, and also because there were some godly bits in there, I thought, I've got to go to God. So I thought, I'm going to walk to church, right? Now, I don't know any of the churches around where I live. I just walked to it. And I thought, yeah, exert myself, walk to church. Get there. Of course, it's closed. It's a Thursday afternoon. And there's a number up on the notice board. And I thought, I'll just ring them, see if, like, I don't know what you do. And I just, and there was like two numbers. I thought, one said a male name. Didn't want to talk to a man. So I rang the woman. I think she was the administrator or something. And she answered the phone. She was like, hello. I was like, I'm outside Bexley Heath Summit Church. Yes. I went, oh, are you closed? And she was like, yes. I was like, oh, it was just that I wanted to. She went, well, it's Thursday. Why would we be open? I was like, oh. She went, and she sort of went, is it for quiet time? Well, yeah, I don't really know. I just wanted to come in. She was like, well, we're normally open on a Thursday afternoon sometimes, but it's school holidays, so we're not open. And I was like, okay. I went, do you know any other thinking? Like, if you're in the business of churching, right, being somebody who's in the business of comedy, if someone asked me about a comedy club, I might know another comedy club, you know? She said, do you know any others that might be open? She went, no, as if like, what a silly question. And I went, oh, okay, bye. And that was it. And I thought,
oh, bless.
But Sarah, that was the sign I needed, because it made me laugh and come out of my delusional, psychotic wailing to just go, oh my God, you've got to laugh, because God's not open on a Thursday afternoon. It's not open. And so I went to the, I prayed at the altar of Cafe Nero.
Yes.
And I know that other coffee shops are available, but if Nero wants to sponsor Funny Mummies podcast, I'm up for it. And they were there for me. They were there for me.
Westminster Cathedral is usually open.
Is it? So that's just, why I graduated there.
All right. Heading to Westminster. I mean, I don't know how long that would take, but
it's funny, isn't it? Because you know, asking you if you're still Catholic, whether I think that's when you're brought up a certain religion, unless you've had horrendous, horrendous experiences, it's just always with you, isn't it? And it's like, you know, you don't hedge your bets and stuff. So I would say, because I was brought up, yeah, Church of England, I am spiritual. It's always there, and yeah. I always, yeah, as I've got older, it's like that connection to my mum as well. So if I go to some little village and there's a church, I'm like, I'd say to my husband, oh, I want to go in there and light a little candle. And
yeah,
he was opposite, because he was brought up Catholic, but it's made him very like, no, don't want to go near a church. Like,
I mean, Westminster Abbey, I believe, is open, but you have to pay to go in there. So St. Paul's Cathedral, Westminster Abbey. Yeah, you have to pay to go and pray. And I'm not a big fan of paying
to pray. We always, I mean, you know, we've had to pay to perform a lot of the time. Yeah.
Pay to play, pray to pay to pray against both of those.
You know that this podcast would end up being about where you can go and pray. But I feel like with Christmas coming up, it's very appropriate. Well, which fits with talking about Christmas. So I've decided, I thought, right, I need to make, you know, some advice I've had is sort of like doing some new things with them, but don't do too much new things, especially because they are little. But I also think this must apply to, how old were your children when your husband
told him to leave? My youngest was 7, so it's 7, 8, and I think Luke was 15.
Oh, wow. Okay.
So a different age. But the youngest ones were little, and Luke was at a hideous.
But the youngest two were 7 and 8.
Yeah.
Well, they're very close in age. I don't think I realised that.
Yeah. No, that was, it's brilliant now because they've got like one big group of friends. Horrendous amount of work. If I'd realised that having another one about a year later was 10 times the work, maybe I'd have thought again. But it was not because they aren't both absolute, well, all three of them are absolutely lovely, but it was just difficult to look after two babies at the same time. But, you know, not presumably as hard as twins. So,
I was about to argue against, because I think that twins, they're both there at the same age. You've sort of like gone through all that pregnancy, had a baby, and then you're sort of like pregnant with the next one while you're trying to manage that other one. So I think in some ways it's harder.
The big issue was with Becky, who's my older daughter. She was kind of just over a year, so she was quite robust. If she was unhappy, you could sort it out fairly quickly. You knew she was either hungry or she was hurt or whatever. And then the baby came along, and Becky couldn't understand why we didn't stop the baby crying immediately. But then she'd start crying, and then you're like, should I be looking after this one or this one? And you couldn't keep them both happy at the same time, which, you know, as I say, it was just something you had to work through. But they are quite close.
And you had to do all that, you know, pretty much on your own, wouldn't you? Do you remember them? Do you mind talking much about like what you said to them? I mean, you know, now you've got the distance that I've got, and you're divorced, so you haven't got to worry about that, because I'm being told, be careful about any legal stuff in the future. Do you remember what you said to them or what they said? And
I mean, I remember a couple of things. So I decided, because my husband seemed so unstable at the time, you know, I positioned it that he wasn't very well and he was going to stay with Nana for a while. I didn't feel it was my place to say too much, but I always told them the truth, and I said I'd answer any questions. So the Christmas, so it wasn't the first Christmas, it was, and both, I mean, you won't know this necessarily, but I grew up in a pub, my husband grew up in a pub, so we had two of the most popular pubs in the area. So
I mean, lots, of course you did.
Lots of people. You've done a gig at my pub.
Obviously memorable.
and that train journey, that was one of the best train
That's
journeys.
One of the best train journeys. For anyone who doesn't know, when you're doing stand-up comedy, sometimes the best bit about it is hanging out with comedians. Which is what people think it is, don't they? They think, it must be such a laugh. You get to all hang out. Well, no, it's not always like that. But this one was like, oh my God, we've got to go all the way to Dover, which was seemed like take so long. But thankfully, we were with a load of lovely people and we had such a laugh. Yeah.
So it just meant that, you know, we weren't really celebrities, but people knew us in the area and they'd talk about us. So
local celebrity, Sarah, you can say it.
I was the it girl of Dover.
Yeah, come on.
And then, people in pubs do the most awful things. Someone,
I can't imagine.
Someone saw my husband in Canterbury with his boyfriend, took a photo of it, him, and then showed it to my daughters and said, do you know this man? Have you seen this man? And I'm like, what the is wrong with you? So eventually I had to tell the children what was being said. And I'm like, and I just said to them, this is what people are saying about your father. I don't want you to interact with them at all. If anyone says anything like this, I want you to come and discuss it with me and we'll talk about it.
And
this was just before the second Christmas because I was worried someone might tell them. And Rebecca, who is our rock, but also is a monkey, she said, do you think it's true, Mummy? And I'm like, oh. I promised to tell the truth. And I said, well, if you think about everything that's happened, yeah, it might well be true. I said, but, you know, no one knows apart from your father. So until he's ready to speak about it,
yeah,
we need to just do the best we can. I said, but what I don't want you to do is get into an argument with someone or start defending him. I want you to come and talk to me. So, yeah, that was grim, but funny. You know, as we look back, you know, Becky was absolutely our rock even from the age of eight. So, that was, but I think there's a thing about it being so intense at Christmas and then doing these things, which, you know, it's intense even if you're only hanging up stockings and going to carol concerts and things like that. But then you throw into the mix an emotional kind of bomb, as you put it, that you're not quite sure how to deal with, but you want, you know, I possibly was too open too soon with the children, but because there'd been so many lies throughout the marriage, I thought that was the worst thing you could do to someone is lie to them.
And it doesn't come with the parenting handbook. I mean, parenting doesn't come with it. I was going to say there isn't a handbook, but, you know, you just don't expect that to, you know, there's no guidelines. Yes, you know, now there are a lot of things you can follow. Like I said, gingerbread and school, great, giving advice. I mean, and this is why they said, I was talking to the liaison officer at school and she was like, you know, you got to tell the children something soon. Otherwise it's going to blurt out when you're upset or angry and you'll say the wrong thing, which is again, hard. Cause you're like, what, like you say, it's not exactly the same, but when you feel like I felt like I've been lied to because he'd been holding it in for a long time. And suddenly I'm told the news, but I can't do anything about it because he doesn't want to work on it. So that's felt like a betrayal to me. So then I, you know, it's really hard not to splurt out to the kids. Yes, well, daddy doesn't da da da. Do you know what I mean? So they're right. And when I've got my sensible head on, I'm like, they're right. We did. And you know what, Sarah? You didn't know, but you actually were doing the right thing, which they say, you know, you just answer their questions as much as they age appropriate. I know with the 5-year-old, it's very, very basic. But he switched on. But the older one, because of his autism as well, we have to be, he just wants clear answers. Yeah. And it's hard because I can't give it to him. And nor can his dad. Digressed a bit. Christmas. So
have you made your plans? Have you got
I think again some it's been a curveball's been thrown in terms of his family, stuff going on that's really sad. And so actually so otherwise I think he'd been here Christmas morning and we'd have done something like that, but yeah, we've you just have to do what you have to do. I'm not going to go into it, but we've sorted something out.
Have you got adults with you for Christmas?
Yeah, well, not for the morning, I won't, but for like midday, I go to my sister's.
Okay, good.
But yeah, though, that's what I was going to say was, I think you have to do, they say generally it's good to start putting in new things. So me personally, I've started to do lots of new things. I'm going to the gym, such a cliche, and lots of other new things that I'm trying to do, which is good. And I would say to anybody, if you're going through this, be prepared though, if you're doing new things and you're like, you will then have those down days where, because you're sort of trying, you can't run away from it, if you know what I mean.
Yeah.
Literally, I'm at the gym trying to run away from it. So it might mean the next day I have a bit of a down day. And just go with it. Just got to go with it. But in terms of Christmas, it's hard because, again, advice I've had is like kids, friends I've spoke to who come from divorced families, I said it wasn't the mum and dad splitting up. One of the hardest things was the changes. So like moving and stuff like that. So I'm very aware of, like, even I put the Christmas tree in a different place this year, right? Because I was like, where was it? And my son went, we don't have the Christmas tree there. And I was like, oh, I thought we'd just have it there this year. But they're fine, you know, and different lights on the tree. But just small changes for me. And Christmas Eve, I actually already thought, one of the best Christmases I had, and this was funny enough, I think it was about a year after my dad died, might have even been the same year, Mum went to church on Christmas Eve.
Yeah.
And I have such a lovely memory of the Christingle. You get like the orange, the sweets. And just seeing there, being there with her and my auntie, which was like something we just wouldn't normally do, and all singing. And that is a memory. And I thought, my kids will probably hate it, but I'm taking them.
Yeah. Well, so that's what one of the things I was going to say. So either Christmas Eve or Christmas morning, there will be children's services, and they are good. You know, they're usually quite uplifting because, as you say, you're singing and things like that. But if it's, I think hopefully the boys will enjoy it if it's. But yeah, I was going to say, why don't you check out what's going on nearby? And I mean, I used to go to church all the time anyway. I used to take. The whole fact. So I worked in the city, so I'd leave the house very early every morning and get back quite late. Thankfully we had a live-in au pair, or otherwise my children would have been left on their own for huge amounts of time. But then on a Sunday we all went to church, all of us together. So but the Christmas service was always really good fun, and you know, sometimes we'd usually have a donkey turn up and, you know, all this. And so, but check out what's available in the area.
Well,
and
if there's not a donkey, I don't want to know.
And it's, but there was something about going there on Christmas Eve. And I mean, I do worry about what I did to my children in some respects. We used to go Christmas Eve and Christmas morning, but everyone is, I remember one year we went with my mum. And something went wrong with the car. The tyre, she got flat tyre straight after church. And all these lovely families were leaving church all dressed up to the nines.
Yeah.
And this gentleman felt obliged to offer to change the tyre. He was in his best suit. And all
oh
that.
My God.
You could see he was like, no, I just want to walk on by. And it's like, you know, it's Christmas. I have to be nice. but that is quite,
oh, it's like a Christmas film.
Yeah, it's quite an uplifting kind of experience because people are friendlier on
yeah, well, you know, look,
it's
as
like
much
walking
as
in the Disney store,
right?
It's like walking into the Disney
store. I mean,
everyone says hello.
Look, I mean, we're gonna have to start wrapping up now, but and I guess I just want to say, like, yeah, there is that thing of Christmas can bring out the best in people, and that's what I love about Christmas. It also can bring out the worst in people if they're drunk or whatever. But I would say, and I'm no expert, I'm only 4 months in, and this is going to be my first Christmas with this. And, you know, even saying that, I can feel a little bit of a thing in my throat, but I'm just trying to not put a lot of pressure on myself. And it's the kids, honestly, you realize you overthink stuff so much, mm-hmm. and they just they just care about, they do care about their presence, both of them. They do care about, you know, who's there to a certain extent, but generally they just want to feel safe and loved, and yeah, that's all that matters. So yeah, I'm thinking about, I've heard this thing about getting a present for yourself, and I'm like, I'm not sure, I feel like that feels a bit sad. I thought I might say to another friend of mine, should we just buy each other a present, something like that. I feel like feels like a nice idea, but we'll see. I quite like my postman at the moment. I'll see. See if I might invite them in for a Christmas sherry.
And then
into my film, I was telling Sarah, yeah, off air that I've got this like short film Christmas. Eventually, when the pain is gone, I'm going to write this short film about all this. And because I've had so many moments, it's like I am living in a film, and then the ending has to be getting off with the postman. And on that note, so I mean, if you had any advice for anyone having their first Christmas or whatever this year, would you have any advice? You don't have to, we're not an agony aunt show.
No, I mean it sounds like you've got it sorted. Be kind to yourself and have a bit of structure for the day.
Yes.
so that you can hopefully it will just be a nice day, and it may well be a nice day, but I would be surprised if there isn't some grief and loneliness.
Yeah.
So if you know you're doing this then, this then, this then, and you can push the, oh my God, I didn't think I'd get through this, but I did.
Yeah.
Up till after the boys are in bed, that's good. And I think
then cry.
Yeah.
No. It'll be lonely this Christmas. No, structure is a really good idea, but also like with anything, because I think I've had quite a lot of recently being busy, and actually I've just been like craving to sit on the sofa and watch Netflix and cry, and that's important as well.
Because yeah,
one thing that I'm trying to work with, and it's a really difficult thing to hear, ladies and any men that are listening, like grief, you just got to go through it. It's the journey. It's the doing the work, as they say. You can't run away from the work. And I feel like if you do, you know, it'll just bite you in the bum. Anyway, I'm not a psychiatrist. Go and talk to a psychiatrist if you want to find out more about that. Okay. Sarah, I normally ask people if there's anything you want to big up at the end. Is there anything you would like to big up for? It can be for next year or whenever.
I mean, the one thing I'm working on January, February next year is we really would like a sponsor for the Ish Edinburgh Comedy Awards.
Of course.
The Ish stands for insert sponsor here. And we couldn't be more delighted with how it went last year. We're still getting so much positive feedback from people who...
Really?
Yeah, who made... You know, the whole point of it was to give people a shout out who may not normally get a shout out. And we think, you know, we think we achieved that. Obviously, Fiona Ridgewell was one of our winners, and she was doing the Free Fringe. So that was exactly what we wanted.
Yeah.
Gareth Much was a long list, and he always puts that on his tour shout outs. But we're only looking for a small amount of money in terms of corporate sponsorship. It's okay. More than I've got down the sofa, but we're only looking for £20,000. And it's doing, hopefully, a lot of good for comedians, but also there's really good press opportunities. So that's what I'm looking for. If anyone knows someone who might like the... Notoriety. Yeah.
And for those who don't know how it works, if not been to Edinburgh, you know, you have you probably heard of people, you know, Edinburgh Award winners, stuff like that. But you gotta remember there's thousands of shows now. And so not everyone gets seen. So, you know, your award, like you just said, it's highlighting people that might not otherwise be highlighted or seen. So
yeah, we did shows doing the full run for 50 minutes or more. But we saw every single show with our panel of judges. So
wow,
that was
great. Yeah. And I meant to say at the top that Sarah was there for me when I did Edinburgh, not this last year before. And I have to say, I had one of the best dinners that night. She took me for a lovely slap up fish meal. And when you're in Edinburgh, sometimes you just need a little bit of, just a bit of comfort and taken out of the craziness. And that meant a lot to me, Sarah. So thank you very much. But I'm going to big up. I'm doing a preview with Sarah, actually, well, in association with Rat Pack on the 14th of January. Not very far away, and it's not really written, but it's called Chatty Ashdown. So that should be interesting. There'll be some confessions that shouldn't be in there. So come along to that, and obviously always look up if you've got a small baby, come to Screaming with Laughter. We've got our shows in East London and Balham. And what else have I got? Just this podcast. Please keep downloading and share and click on the follow, because that really helps, and then it'll just get dropped in and you won't have to do any work. We'll do all the work for you. And if anyone found out sponsoring us, still looking, let's just, you know, wanton. Anyway, thank you so much, Sarah. My gosh, this is going to be an interesting one to edit. You've been listening to the Funny Mummies podcast. Thank you to my co-host today, my guest, and today's show is edited by Scott Kingsnorth. Thank you so much for listening and supporting this show. If you'd like to support it more, I know you can do even more. You can follow us on Instagram at funnymummies_podcast, and that will tell you all the updates. You can also support us by buying us a coffee or something on one of these fangled things called Ko-Fi. I'll give you the whole address. It's ko-fi.com/HattieAshdown_funnymummiespod. Got that? Thank you for listening, subscribing, and taking the time for you.
Happy Mother's Day!